Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Henry was in earlier, and as a result, you get me off the bench. Steve Thompson in. Chris Tubbs is our producer, and we'll be in through 9 o'clock tonight. We have a great show lined up, but the top story of the day in the world of sports, certainly, is the Minnesota Golden Gopher men's basketball team has a new coach, Nico Medved. You heard Mark Fry do the story a moment ago. He has come full circle in his career from a team manager all the way back to be the head coach at the University of Minnesota. And this was rumored ever since Ben Johnson lost his job. So I don't think it's any surprise. He was mentioned as a front runner early, and a lot of the indicators were that when Colorado State was eliminated, and they were eliminated from the tournament in dramatic fashion, maybe you saw that game, you know, wasn't it a travel? Maryland beats Colorado State and they're out. Didn't take long for Medved to be offered and accept the job, and he will be in tomorrow to meet the media. We'll have full coverage here on News Talk 830 WCCO. But it is out of the no-brainer category with the ties and the resume. And the reality of the situation is this program needs help. Much like the women's program needed help when the Lindsey Whalen experiment didn't work. It just was not working. And Mark Coyle went out and got Dawn Plitz-White to lead that program. She had certainly paid her dues. She was familiar with the upper Midwest and had won and had success wherever she went, kind of town to town, up and down the dial, paying her dues, so to speak. And that's true with Nico Medved. Has had success, has been at Colorado State for a while right now. And you bring someone in who's coming in from a mid-major and familiar with the area, familiar with the lay of the land, and you get a guy who knows what he's doing. And I think you got that in a woman who knows what she's doing and Dawn Plitz-White with the women's program. So in my opinion, a very similar hire for Mark Coyle to bring stability. But it doesn't change a couple of fundamental things about the system that failed Ben Johnson and the situation that failed Ben Johnson. And that was name, image, and likeness money, financial support from the university, and then support from the community as a whole. And I have a couple of thoughts on that I want to get into. We all know about the name, image, and likeness money, that in some way, shape, or form, and work is being done, but the University of Minnesota and their boosters need to get more money in the pipeline. It's just a fact. They need to do that. It is a new era, and you need the money to be able to compete on that level. And then I think beyond that, a challenge that the U isn't going to be able to do a lot about is this is a very crowded sports marketplace. And for the men's and women's team to ultimately break through and move up the ladder, so to speak. You've got the Vikes, number one. They're always going to be number one, in my opinion. Then you got kind of the Twins, Wolves, Wild in the next group. You got the Loons. You got the Lynx. Those are just the pro teams. Then you've got the Aurora, and they've carved out a niche. You've got the Saints in St. Paul. And then forget about the very... You can't forget about What's going on at St. Thomas? They continue to build their brand. They've made the move to D1. They're building facilities. They're generating interest over in St. Paul and beyond for their product. Then think about all the small colleges and think about the high schools. You have on any given night, whether it's volleyball season or football season or hockey season or basketball season, you've got a lot of options to go out and watch great hoops here in the greater Twin Cities area at the small college level. You think about all the MIAC schools here in town. Up the road, you got St. John's. You know, down in Northfield, you got St. Olaf. You've got Carleton. Down in St. Peter Gustavus, you know the drill here. And then beyond that, D2. You've got D2 programs here in the Twin Cities and near the Twin Cities that are a draw. So it is a very challenging sports marketplace. And then over at the U, you've got successful men's and women's programs that are a draw. So to get that attention and move up the ladder in popularity, that is a tall order. And there is another one. And I think it's important to bring it up in the context of Nico Medved taking the job at the University of Minnesota. At some point in time, Mark Hoyle, the powers that be at the U, the Board of Regents, the president, are going to need to sit down, and maybe they've already had this conversation privately. Maybe they've had it on a chat group with an editor from The Atlantic. I don't know. But what they need to do is discuss with all seriousness the future of Williams Arena and the Pavilion. And I was there for the state tournaments. I was there for the girls' tournament. I've spent a lot of time over the years in the Pavilion and the barn. I love the barn. I grew up with Williams Arena. I grew up, but it's time. And it's time for the University of Minnesota and their boosters to take an honest look at the building and say, are we going to sink millions of dollars into a 100-plus-year-old building with the idea that we're going to make it state-of-the-art? I love the history. I've got a lot of great memories. State tournaments over the years, Gopher men's and women's games, all sorts of other events in that building. But maybe isn't it time, as part of all of this, to have an honest discussion about Williams Arena in the future? Now, my idea is simply this, and you may disagree with me, and that's completely fine. But if you have the Wild and Craig Leupold and the city of St. Paul and Mayor Melvin Carter saying, you know what, we need $750 million to remodel the X, Rivers Center, and Roy Wilkins Auditorium and help make it the centerpiece of downtown St. Paul. Like, wow, $750 million. Maybe the U needs to think big about a plan that would clear this site, tear down Williams Arena and the Pavilion, clear the land, and build a state-of-the-art 10 to 12,000 seat multi-purpose building that you can use for men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, plus other events, state tournaments, other things going on in campus. And commission an architect and get ideas on how you take design cues from the current barn and pay tribute to it. Maybe the two-deck design, whatever it is. Say, we want a flavor of the old Williams Arena in the new building. I know it's a lot of money, but you need to think big. Build a signature building on campus. Might be the finest arena in the Big Ten. When you're done, it might be the finest arena in the country. If you're going to get serious about competing and competing in this marketplace, you're going to need a better building. I don't think there's any doubt about it, that they need to think big when it comes to facilities for all these sports. Very proud of the volleyball program and the wrestling program and the men's and women's basketball programs. Going forward, you need a facility, and how cool would it be to have the new Williams Arena be a state-of-the-art facility? Chris Tubbs, I don't know what you think about it, but I think it's got to be part of the conversation going forward.
Oh, absolutely, no question, Steve. And as you were, you know, talking about what you enjoy and the history and all of the quirkiness that Williams Arena has, you know, I remember being a kid and being like, man, I'd love to go see a game at Williams Arena. And the first time that I got a chance to see was, you know, I saw Vashawn Leonard go airborne trying to get a ball out of bounds with that raised floor, you know, going into the crowd. You know, I remember sitting in the cheap seats and watching, you know, Steve Smith from Michigan State. You know, it's just those sort of things. I think we have to marry the past with the potential future. And I think, Steve, kind of, you know, when you're talking about, let's have some of those nuances and some of the quirks. Yeah, maybe you do the double deck. Maybe you do the raised floor. You take some of the things that made Williams Arena, you know, what it was.
Yeah.
But kids don't care about history. Kids don't care about nostalgia. Kids want the shiny new toy, and they want a lot of money in that bank account to play. That's the reality of college sports nowadays. So I believe in renovating the old, but I'm at the point where if the U of M and the NIL, if they don't step up and give Nico Medved what he needs to compete, then it doesn't matter who the head coach is, because the resources just aren't going to be there.
Well, and I think the U thought big when they brought football back on campus, and they built the current stadium, once upon a time TCF Bank Stadium, now Huntington Bank Stadium. And they did think big to bring it back on campus. And I think that's paid dividends, and it has been a good thing. When they moved hockey into Mariucci Arena, Mariucci's still a gem. They built
it's a great arena. Building. It is a great building.
It is a great building, and they have an opportunity. As much as I love the barn, my first Gopher game, way back in the day, Joe Barry Carroll was playing for Purdue. We had neighbors down the street.
I think Robbie Hummel was probably on that team too, wasn't he? Because he had like 400
years. It could have been.
It could have been.
But, I mean, this goes back to Joe Barry Carroll playing for the Boilermakers, and we had really good seats close to the raised floor, and I'll never forget it, my first Gopher game. It was incredible. But times change, and I think the U should go big and think big. What's next for Williams Arena? Nico Medved, and we'll get into this more with Andy Greeter on the to-do list as the head coach, but I think the U, for all these programs, not just men's hoops, men's and women's hoops, wrestling, volleyball, to have a state-of-the-art, multi-purpose arena in that part of campus, on that footprint, with cues from the old building. And you're right, the raised floor, maybe the two-deck design, get people in tight, get them close, while still creating what you need in this era to compete in this marketplace. Premium seating areas, upgraded restrooms. I mean, come on. Once again, the restrooms at the barn, seriously? At the pavilion? I mean,
I think the urinals are held together by screws, and I think there's a couple of bolts that are missing. And right. I mean, it's crazy.
It's time. All right. And if you want to be a part of the show, feel free to call 651-461-9226. It is our CCO talk and text line. But I think a part of this, and it is time to have that conversation. You know, what about a new Williams Arena and a new building on campus? And then Andy Greeter will join us, covers the Gophers for the Pioneer Press. He'll join us following the weather at 6:30. It is the Lake Show. Stephen, Chris here. Henry was in earlier. News Talk, 830 WCCO.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Huge local sports story. Nico Medved leaves Colorado State, will join the Minnesota Golden Gophers as the men's head basketball coach, and will meet the media tomorrow. And Chris Tubbs, certainly a big story. But there is a to-do list for the U, no doubt. And I'm sure he's got a to-do list as well when he hits the ground tomorrow.
Yeah, and I mean, I think for the U of M, we've seen a lot of people that are like, hey, you know, you got to do something. You got to make moves. I feel like the U's kind of been sitting on their hands. Maybe, you know, maybe they didn't really know where they needed to go. They just kind of want to wait and see how this NIL is going to shake out. But I do think with St. Thomas making the jump from D3 to D1, plus, I think the success that they had this year, making it all the way, you know, the men did to the Summit League Championship game, does that put a little bit of pressure on the U of M now that the Gophers are not the only game in town here in the Metro?
Yeah, it does. And they're already building a building, and it's going to be a 5,000-seat building for men's and women's hoops and men's and women's hockey and other events over on campus at St. Thomas. I think it absolutely does. I still think, though, big picture, you are competing against Vikings, Wild, Twins, Timberwolves, Lynx, Loons, Saints, all the other colleges, all the other high schools. This is an incredibly crowded sports marketplace.
But if you're the U of M, I mean, you're the U of M, you should be able to carve it out just based on the fact that you're the Gophers.
Well, you should, but that takes winning and that takes facilities. And once again, I love the barn. I was over at the Pavilion calling the girls tournament. I spent time over at Williams Arena, spent a lot of time over the years in the barn. The history is great, but let's face it, it needs major renovations. And in this day and age, would you be able to create an environment, a fan experience that would allow you to compete with the other venues in town? Are people going to go there? Yeah, you know, it's the barn and I love the history, but boy, it's tight and the seats are uncomfortable and it's, you know, hard to get a hot dog and it's hard to go to the bathroom. And I mean,
I think people are willing to make concessions though for the Gophers. Maybe unlike, because I mean, I feel like you've got Gopher fans that are out there, and I mean, they're lifers. Like, Gopher lifers are just, they're waiting for this thing. Like, I mean, this is a basketball town. I really feel that way. And if the Gophers just finally somewhat, you know, can prove themselves to be competitive once again for the first time since, you know, Clem, is that maybe what the fan base needs? Just something to get a little excited. I feel like they'll show up in droves.
Well, I do, but I think if you create a building, the building is going to create revenue opportunities that I don't think you're ever going to have at Williams Arena. Once again, the seating areas are awkward.
So you're not talking about the building or the program being the main revenue generator, right? You're talking about the building being the revenue generator.
Well, you look at why do the Wild want $750 million to renovate that complex? I know it includes River Center, and I know it includes Roy Wilkins Auditorium and the entire complex. But in reality, the building can generate a lot of revenue. The Metrodome, in the seats at the Metrodome, when you were sitting there, the sight lines were pretty good for football at the Metrodome. They were. I went to a lot of games there. Watched a lot of Gopher games and a lot of Viking games, but there were no other amenities in the building and revenue opportunities and not enough club seats. You look at the seating areas. How many crummy seats are there in Williams Arena? There's a lot. You have to be part mountain goat to get to the upper deck. I mean, seriously, you know, these narrow catwalks and so on and so forth. It's an antiquated building. How
true.
Much money is it going to take to bring this thing and make it accessible? Once again, I love the barn, but it's time. This thing's over 100 years old. You know, I just haven't seen the plans to make the building compete with all the other facilities in town. St. Thomas is going to bring online a modern building. You've got Allianz, where the Loons play, modern building. The Timberwolves are going to need a new building at some point. And then you got Williams Arena. I just don't think it competes well in the sports marketplace. And they need to think about that and revenue opportunities if they're going to get this program and all these programs, not just men's hoops, men's and women's hoops, volleyball, wrestling, all these other things. Look at the other facilities around the Big Ten. Look at what they got going on out at Oregon. I mean, well, they got Phil Knight.
I was going to say, that's Phil Knight money. That doesn't count. I mean, Oregon's not a real school.
Yeah, okay. Do we have that on tape?
Oregon is not a real school. Now we do.
Right. Yeah, now we
do. Put it in your voice so I don't get in trouble.
All right, Nico Medved is the new Golden Gopher men's hoops coach, and Andy Greeter covers the Gophers for the Pioneer Press. He will join us following the weather here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is the late show. Henry was in a bit earlier today. Steve Thompson here. You typically hear me on Saturdays and occasionally filling in for Henry here on the Lake Show. Chris Tubbs is our producer, and we're in until 9 o'clock. Nico Medved led Colorado State almost to the Sweet 16. They got beat by Maryland, a buzzer beater. Quite a finish in that one. Made three to go ahead, and then a two-pointer for the Terps, and they advance. Colorado State has done. Nico Medved on his way to Minnesota, home to Minnesota, to take the Golden Gopher job. And Andy Greeter joins us from the Pioneer Press. He covers the Golden Gophers and the Loons. Andy, good to visit with you.
Yeah, same with you, Steve.
And Andy, not really a surprise, because Nico Medved has been tied to this job when Ben Johnson moved on to the hot seat and then was ultimately let go.
Yeah, it was a name that came up kind of initially on kind of hot boards, if you will, of kind of lists of guys that were mentioned the last time around when Ben Johnson ultimately got the job. And Nico was a guy at that time as well. And he just had more success at Colorado State over the next, you know, 4 years to show that he was really a candidate that they needed to take a look at, because he checked a lot of boxes that I felt was important with the job. You know, a smaller program that punches up above its weight class and has success and does it, you know, at a place that doesn't have as many resources as other programs, which is kind of indicative of what Minnesota is, and is a proven existing head coach, right? I think when you look at Ben Johnson, this was his first time as a head coach, and it didn't work out. So they needed to go back and get a coach that had experience, and they do that with Nico Medved, who has 12 years experience and has been to the NCAA tournament three of the last 4 years.
Yeah, and there's a lot on his plate when he comes in, hit the ground running, because, you know, the transfer portal, name, image, likeness. I mean, there's a lot to do just to put a team together and a staff for next year.
Yeah, and like I said, he's well-versed in this space, having done it at Colorado State and kind of being able to knock off Memphis as a 12 seed in a 12-5 matchup, and he's kind of realizes what he can do with less NIL money. But now he's coming to a place that has more relative to them, but less relative to other people in the Big Ten, if that makes sense. But the Gophers are making a very big commitment to men's basketball. You can see that in being willing to pay a $3 million buyout to have Ben Johnson leave, paying a $3 million buyout to get Nico Medved away from Colorado State, and also making a commitment based on what I can report and what others have done so as well, of revenue sharing that's coming online next year with $20 million that athletic departments are able to spend in direct payments to athletes. And the Gophers saying that they're going to spend what is expected to be more than what's usually the allotted amount, what the forecasted amount is going to be, with football taking the lion's share. And the Gophers are saying we're going to spend a little bit more on men's basketball because they want to make this a winning program that's consistently contending for spots in March Madness.
Yeah, and putting people in the seats, getting people excited about the program, can pay financial dividends as well and help all of this along. But it's been well documented, the challenges. You talked about name, image, and likeness money. And Ben Johnson kind of caught in a really tough spot and a revolving door and trying to get players to stay. And that's just the nature of the beast. But And then there is also the building, and we spent a good chunk of the first 30 minutes of the program talking about Williams Arena and what needs to be done to that facility. If you're going to keep it, it needs significant upgrades.
Yeah, I think so. It'll be interesting to see what Nico has to say about it tomorrow, just given the fact that he, you know, has lived it, right? He grew up as a fan, was a student manager, was an assistant coach, has seen what other places have as far as amenities go. I'm sure he's going to say that when there's a winner, the place is full and it can create a home court advantage. But you're right. I think there's definite upgrades in a remodel that needs to happen with that. You know, I was able to report last year that they had an architectural design firm put together a feasibility study on either building a new arena or different ways to create renovations to the barn. And that was kind of all tabled over the last, you know, couple of months as they've had to carve out $20 million in their budget for revenue sharing. So that kind of changes the dynamic, and it's going to be what it is for the short term. And they're going to have to make do with you know, the fact that it's almost a 100-year-old building and try to find ways to win kind of despite it at the moment.
Yeah, and there's a lot of other moving parts in the sports marketplace. And Andy, I know you've got a very crowded sports marketplace here, and moving up the ladder and creating visibility and excitement. Yeah. There is an appetite for it, but you got the Vikings and the Timberwolves and the Wild and the Twins and the Loons as part of your beat, and the Lynx, et cetera. I mean, that's just pro sports, let alone all the other competitors in town.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt, it's different than a lot of their Big Ten competitors that are in college towns. You know, there's as everybody knows, it's difficult to kind of make inroads in this market, given the fact of, like you mentioned, all those competing teams. And I think college basketball is at a bit of a crossroads too, right? I think when you look at fan kind of apathy to the fact that it's an entirely different team every single year, it's hard to kind of know guys and rally around them and see their development and get to know them a little bit when they're new faces on the majority of every roster. And, you know, it's really kind of become a month-long sport, right? I think it still has that pull when the calendar flips to March and you have tournaments and you have buzzer beaters and you have, you know, drama and upsets and Cinderellas and maybe not so much this year, but just traditionally. So there's, like you said, there's still a pull of it. But if you have a winner, if you have a team that plays an exciting brand of basketball, I think Nico Medved is going to bring that. He's known as an offensive-minded coach. I think you saw them, you know, play in a very entertaining style when they beat Memphis, when they almost beat Maryland, a team that beat the Gophers earlier this year. You could see the fact that there are pieces to do it. And you also see kind of in the way of the guys that Nico brings in, right? I think he's shown an ability to develop NBA players. David Roddy at Breck, obviously, is the number one example there. Isaiah Stevens, Nick Collins, the guy that they just had this last year, he's going to get drafted. So they have talent. They play an exciting brand of basketball. And it looks like Nico Medved is also kind of in the PJ Fleck school of, like, you know, being more, being about more than just basketball and bringing in the right people and doing it the right way. And I think those are all things can resonate with the community as well.
Andy Gritter joining us from the Pioneer Press, covers the Golden Gophers and the Loons, available online at TwinCities.com. And joining on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline, Nico Medved will meet the media tomorrow, and it's inevitable, keeping talent at home. And the Gophers, every coach faces that question about, And there is a lot of talent. We had the Boys State Basketball Tournament wrap up, and there are a lot of players in this state, and that is a challenge, keeping those kids at home, and keeping those kids at home for more than 1 year in the era of one-and-dones and the constant transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, you can also just look at March Madness and the number of players from Minnesota that had success in the tournament during the first weekend. Obviously, it's going to be very important for Nico to continually make inroads when it comes to recruiting the state. And I can guarantee you that he's already talked to Isaiah Osama, the, you know, freshman point guard from Cherry, who's kind of wondering about if he should stay in Minnesota because he was recruited by Ben Johnson. But I'm sure Nico has done everything he can to try to get him to stick around, because he was an exciting young player that looks like he can develop into a quality player in the Big Ten. And I'm sure there's part of that conversation is, you know, Nico expressing who he is and what he's about and where he's from. And I'm sure that resonates for a guy in Asama that is from Minnesota, that wanted to stay here, that wants to do it and kind of create a legacy here. And I'm sure that is helpful for Nico to say, you know, hey, I'm from Roseville. Hey, I went to the University of Minnesota. And I've seen it when it was great. I believe that we can get back there. And those are all the kind of recruiting things that I'm sure Nico's using, has used already and is using continuously as the transfer portal opens here today.
You know, you brought up something earlier, you know, players with local ties, or for that matter, wherever they come from.
Yeah.
Some continuity. And that goes beyond Nico Medved, Mark Coyle, and the University of Minnesota. It also gets into the game as a whole about this total lack of continuity in the game hurts everyone.
Yeah, and I think you're all for kind of free opportunities for players because they didn't have any for so long and they weren't paid before. So, but I think there needs to be some sort of, kind of common sense to this thing, saying that they're a trust and they kind of violate antitrust laws. So I think it's difficult to say where that comes into play. But I think if you build it the right way with the right guys, you can be something like you see with Gopher football, right? There's been a number of times over the last couple of years where other people have come in and tried to poach or provide more for Gopher football players, but they stay in Minnesota because they believe in what's being done here and they can have an opportunity to be successful. And it's about more than football. I think there's something very similar can be done in basketball. If you get the right guys and you develop them and you show the track record over time, that kind of reinforces a desire to stay, I can see.
Yeah, and Andy, do you get any sense on what his staff will look like? I know guy who was on Ben Johnson's staff, Dave Thorson, spent a lot of time, a longtime De La Salle coach, and then worked for Nico Medved at a couple of stops along the way before joining Ben's staff. But do you have any idea what the staff will look like, or will we find out more tomorrow?
I'd expect Dave Thorson to be around. I've heard that, as we talked about Nico Medved for so long, there was talks of Dave Thorson sticking around well before this news became official. So I think there's an expectation that Dave Thorson will stick around. One of the top assistants at Colorado State under Medved, looks like he's going to be the interim head coach. He might become the permanent head coach there. So he's not bringing at least one assistant from the Rams to Minnesota. I don't know who else is going to be on his staff. I think that'll come out in the next couple of days. I think the biggest thing right now is trying to get in the transfer portal and put together a roster. You know, they had 10 seniors that they honored. They had a couple other underclassmen that have announced that they're moving on in the transfer portal. I don't know if Nico Medved makes calls to some of those guys, if he feels like they're the right fit for him. But that's kind of where we're at right now. It's portal season, and they're trying to put together a roster because that needs to be happening immediately.
Well, and Andy, it's got to be nerve-wracking. Not only do you get a coaching change, but this transfer portal stuff, it's got to be insane. You probably are like, I don't want to miss anything, but you need to sleep as well.
Well, I mean, selfishly, you needed Colorado State to lose last night. You know, I think that was – that was important from a Gopher perspective for that reason, right? You need to hit the portal and you need to try to bring in a new talent to make a team for next year. So while it was difficult to see a quality performance and a hard buzzer beater as a neutral, as somebody that follows the Gophers, I think it was exciting to see a buzzer beater for the first time in the tournament. And from a Gopher perspective, selfishly, probably wanted to see that happen so Nico Medved can be made official, so he can start making calls on behalf of the Gophers, that he can have his introductory press conference on Tuesday, and he can start to get the ball rolling. But, Nico's been a part of this. He's seen the changes to the sport, so this isn't going to be coming as a surprise or a shock to him. He knows what he's doing, and I think he's probably energized by the fact that he's got the revenue sharing that's behind a Big Ten institution that's showing a deeper commitment to basketball. I'm sure that kind of invigorates him as he gets on the phone and gets Zoom calls and sets up visits and those sorts of things about what he can sell, and he's got the enthusiasm and the momentum right now as being that new coach.
Well, Andy, always good to visit with you. Look forward to your coverage as this story evolves. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. Take care.
There he is, Andy Greeter, Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Nico Medved meets the media tomorrow. We'll cover it, of course, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Quick break, more on this story. And, of course, Twins win in the Grapefruit League. One to go in the Grapefruit League. They open against the Cardinals in St. Louis on Thursday. Our pregame show at 2:30. And we'll have all 162 here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830 WCCO.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nico Medved on the way. New era of Golden Gopher basketball. And there's part of the story, Chris, we really didn't touch on. This guy goes from student manager under Clem, Minnesota guy, and then goes out, climbs the coaching ladder, and now is coming home tomorrow, will be paid millions.
And millions of dollars. Sorry, I thought that was a rock thing. Sorry, I thought you were leading me into it.
It is a great story, just on that level. I mean, I'm really happy for the guy. I think it's a great fit. I think it's a great hire. Along the lines of Don Plitzwhite, same deal, had success, paid her dues, an experienced coach. Mm-hmm. You get an experienced hand on the wheel, so to speak, in very trying times in big-time college sports. I love the hire. But just the personal story of and I love that when someone pays their dues and gets the opportunity like that, that's cool.
Well, and to do it at your home, you know, where you're from.
Alma mater.
Your alma mater, but at the same time, I just feel like here's a situation where, you know, the athletic director came out and said, we want somebody that embodies and is going to embrace Minnesota. Well, unless you get somebody that's from here, this is a stepping stone job. I mean, I hate to burst the bubble, but people don't look at Minnesota as being a destination. But if you've got Nico Medved, who's from here, went to the U of M, understands the culture or the lack thereof, and has had success other places, I think he's going to understand it. And he's got the dedication to Minnesota that maybe an outsider wouldn't have. So when, you know, they came out and said, oh, we want somebody that embodies Minnesota, to me, I instinctively thought, Steve, my opinion, it was Nico or bust. Because if they didn't end up with Nico, this was going to put a very, very, very bad taste in people's mouths.
Yeah, and ultimately, you still got to have success and win games in the Big Ten and be competitive and all of that. My to-do list would be to call the kid from Alexandria, the big kid, Chase Thompson, who's going to Clemson, and say, hey, Chase, do you want to play at the U next year? we'll see about that. But he's going to have to put together a team together quickly and a staff. We'll learn more about that coming up tomorrow when he meets the media, and we'll cover it here. When we bring you the news and weather, then we'll bring you some Twins talk. The 2025 season is coming up, and we'll get into it. How do you feel about this club? Looks like the pitching could be good. The everyday lineup may struggle to score runs. We'll get into all of that following the news and weather here at CCO.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.